Chapter 4. Mom kept shaking her head. We sat at her old wood dining table, mugs of coffee close at hand. Jethro, who sensed when I needed a furry head to stroke, left his food dish, strolled over to the table, and sprang onto my lap. "I don't understand it," Mom said. "Just think, only a little while after he was here, that fellow was murdered. It gives me the chills." "Me too, Mom." "And Jim found Jasper's knife at the old house?" "Well, it looks like Jasper's. I'm sure there are lots of knives around town that look like his. We have one too. Only thing is, the knife Jim found has the same lettering as Jasper's." Mom swallowed a sip of coffee. "I haven't even seen that knife of ours for months. I don't like knives or guns. Rightfully, I guess our knife belongs to Jackson Connor. It was his to start with." I nodded. "I don't think he wants it. Maybe you would feel better if you gave Jackson a call?"
"And tell him what?"
Mom asked. "I just thought maybe he could say some comforting words." Smiling, Mom said, "Darcy, I'm not that delicate. Now, I enjoy talking to Jackson, but he's busy and I don't want to bother him unless we find out we need him. Maybe for Jasper if he actually becomes an official suspect." Jackson Connor, Levi's most popular lawyer, was also my mother's dear friend. Or maybe a little more than a friend? I certainly could see the attraction. Jackson had white hair and a bushy mustache, keen blue eyes, and was altogether the most comforting man I knew. He was also my mother's ardent admirer. And Mom? Well, I could only hope I looked as good as she when I was closing in on 7 decades on this earth. From her Cherokee ancestors, she had inherited dark hair, high cheekbones, and beautiful tan skin. She moved with grace and dignity and glowed with good health. She could work circles around me any day without tiring. Thankfully, I shared many of her physical characteristics, the facial structure and skin color. Although my hair was dark, too, I wore it long. The only thing I had inherited from my Irish dad, Andy Tucker, was his peppery temper. The clack of tires bumping over our wooden bridge interrupted my thoughts. Looking out the window, I saw Patricia Harris's truck pull to a stop in the driveway. Drawing a long breath, I glanced at Mom. "Oh, boy, here comes Pat now. I wonder if she has heard about the dead man?" "I'm not going to mention him if she hasn't," Mom called over her shoulder, hurrying to open the door. From the tenor of Pat's voice, I judged that she was upset. Mom tried to calm her as she guided Pat into the dining room. Jethro sprang off my lap and dashed toward the comparative quiet of the living room. "Now, Pat, just sit down at the table and I'll pour you a cup of coffee. I can't make head nor tail of what you are saying," Mom said as she went toward the coffee pot. Pat's face, under her tight gray curls, was as red as the roses in our yard in Levi. She was puffing, sort of like a steam engine, as she plopped down in a chair and grabbed the mug of coffee Mom handed her. "I tell you, Flora, that Grant Henley has some nerve to come to my house and demand to see Jasper. Said something about just wanting to know where Jasper was last night during the storm and wanted to talk to him this morning. Why, even I don't know where Jasper is half the time, and anyway, doesn't he have the right to roam the woods if he wants to? Grant wouldn't tell me the reason he wanted to talk to Jasper, but why is it my boy is the first one who comes to his mind every time something happens? What I want you to tell me, Flora, is what's going on. If anybody knows, I figure it's you or Darcy, because you always seem to be right smack in the middle of trouble." "You'll feel better if you drink your coffee," Mom suggested as Pat ran out of air. Pat swallowed a mouthful of coffee, choked and gasped, and then, with visible effort, took some deep breaths. Reaching across the table, I squeezed her hand. "Now, Miss Pat, don't be upset. You see, that shack of old strings burned down this morning." Pat interrupted, eyes bulging.
"It did?"
I nodded. "It did, and, you see, I found a dead man in the yard, and..."
"A dead man?
Darcy Campbell, I might have known. Why is it that people just sort of wait until you get there before they decide to turn up their toes and go meet their maker?
I didn't notice anything unusual about you when you were a little girl, although you always had more than a healthy dose of curiosity. But who was the dead man?
Before she could deliver another rant, Mom spoke up. We don't know yet who he was, but just think a minute when somebody is murdered.
Murdered?
Pat squawked.
Oh, my great aunt's garters, and Grant suspects my poor Jasper.
Shaking my head, I said, No, no, he doesn't, Miss Pat. He just has to check out everybody. Maybe he wants to talk to Jasper because Jasper sometimes knows things that other people don't.
Slowly, Pat nodded. Well, now, I hadn't thought of that. Yes, maybe that's it. Jasper does seem to know what's going on in these woods. Grant talking to him about that would be fine, but the truth is, I don't know where Jasper is. I haven't seen him since supper last night. How awful that there has been another murder in Ventress County. Who in the world would have been out there at Old String Shack anyway? Maybe a homeless person, although...
I interrupted, which was sometimes the only way to carry on a conversation with Pat. Changing the subject seemed like a good idea. You said the new preacher might be interested in renting our house?
Yes, that's right.
Pat's voice dropped an octave or two as her face slowly returned to its normal color.
As a member of the pulpit committee, it's my job to look around for a place for him to stay. He's from somewhere down south, so he'll be a long way from home. Your house is pretty big for one person, but he might like it anyway. It's kind of on the edge of town, quiet, and there's that pasture behind the house.
Mom got up to refill our coffee cups.
He isn't married, then. I thought the church preferred a married man, thinking he would be more stable.
I laughed. Nobody at this table is married, and I think we're about as stable as they come.
I meant to call you, Flora, and tell you that the preacher would like to go look at the house today, this morning, in fact, but in all the excitement with Grant's visit, I forgot.
I was on my way to town when I saw that house burning, I said, glancing at the clock. It's nearly noon, and I've got some stops to make in Levi, so I'd better be on my way. I'm looking forward to meeting this mysterious minister. Maybe he'll drop in while I'm at the house. If he's elderly, the stairs might be a problem.
I don't think he's old, Pat said. His picture on the resume was not very good. He said he needed a quiet area because he's writing a book.
Writing? Then we have something in common.
Sometimes I doubted I would ever complete my second book about the stories and folklore of Ventress County. After I had finished the first book, I started this one, but progress was mighty slow. My friend Amy kept prodding me to finish it, as did Mom. I had good intentions, but I knew what road good intentions paved. Shaking my head, I went out to the garage. Preachers were hard to come by. The church had been searching for a couple of months and was probably glad for any candidate, young, elderly, or in between. I imagined a quiet person, a devout man of God, just the type of renter we were looking for.